this eugenics agenda is a population reduction agenda. They're just taking the low-hanging fruit first, the disabled and the elderly, but they're coming after all of us.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so much for clicking play. That, of course, was Scott Shera. His daughter, Grace, had Down syndrome, and she was murdered by a hospital and its doctors and nurses in Appleton, Wisconsin. And you won't believe what hospitals are now allowing themselves to do to you and the ones you love during the next pandemic. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start this important broadcast, just a quick word about our sponsor. If you keep your money in a bank, listen up. Your savings are at risk. A good portion of the banking system is under extreme stress, and some have actually collapsed. The dangers are clearer than ever. Car loans are defaulting. Credit card debt is ballooning to an all-time high. Commercial real estate is collapsing. But there is a safe and easy way to protect your financial future. Gold. Now, there are no guarantees of any kind, and investing in anything is always a risk, but gold is outside the government's reach and safe from economic policies like trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. In fact, this government is adding $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. Gold allows you to lock in today's value in the face of tomorrow's uncertainty. Don't wait for the next headline, crash, or bank run to act. Contact Noble Gold Investments today and safeguard your tomorrow. As a bonus, they'll give you a free quarter ounce gold standard coin as a thank you for opening a qualified account. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com to claim your gold coin or call them at 877-646-5347. The link is below. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from sgtreport.com, thephaser.com, and of course, thelibertymill.com. Guys, we do our level best every single day to counter the propaganda coming from the mainstream mockingbird whore CIA media. And I think we're doing a pretty good job as it relates to telling the truth about the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. And to that end, I wanted to do a very important update today with my friend Scott Shera, whose 19-year-old daughter Grace was murdered in the hospital in Appleton, Wisconsin by her doctors and nurses who followed the COVID death protocols to a T. Scott, welcome back.
Well, great to be back, Sean. Thank you.
It's good to have you. And from the It's a Small World file, I want to bring everybody up to speed that it is a small world. Sometimes I have to go to a bar restaurant in the evening to upload to BitChute. The CEO of BitChute, Ray, he knows about it. We've talked about it. We exchange emails. He's tried to help me figure this out. To no avail, I can upload to Rumble. I can upload to anywhere. I just can't upload from my home to BitChute. This is a new phenomenon within the last 3-4 months. Very troubling, though, and it's a pain in the butt, to be honest with you. So when I go downtown, sometimes I'll go to one of my favorite stomping grounds in the town in which I live. And when I turned the corner the other day to grab a beer and upload my latest video to BitChute, who did I see sitting at a table? Stu Peters. And he was talking to this man. I had no idea. I walked up and I said, Stu Peters, Sean, SGT Report. Of course, I've had him on the show before. Then I heard a voice coming up from the table below. And it was this man, Scott Shera. Scott Shera and Stu Peters at my favorite stomping grounds in my town. If that's not a small world, I don't know what is, Scott.
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that because, you know, I didn't think Stu would be available, but we were my wife and I are heading to the Twin Cities. And so we stayed overnight in your town and thought we would at least have a 1-day reprieve. And so I contacted Stu to see if he was available, and he was. And, you know, what's the odds?
What are the odds indeed? Yeah, I know the town in which Stu lives. My wife was born in the town and lived in the town and went to high school in the town in which Stu lives. So it is a small world. The fact that you guys were sitting in that particular bar restaurant that I like to go to is really not that big a surprise because it is the coolest bar restaurant in my town. So it makes some sense. But yeah, what a small world. Guys, in this one today, we are going to be talking about medical murder, proving collusion from the top down. They're all in on it. But before we start, Scott, I want to share this bit of important news from the much maligned wellness company. Yes, the company that will help you get good things into your body during the next pandemic. Listen to this, guys, breaking news about ivermectin and the FDA, which is now going to stand down and stop maligning this helpful thing that doctors can prescribe. But the Western medicine doctors were not prescribing it. They were putting people on remdesivir and vents and killing them right in the hospital killing fields. Well, guess what? The FDA has agreed to stop crapping on ivermectin. They've settled this ivermectin case, and they have agreed to remove controversial stop it post as it relates to ivermectin. So that's the much maligned wellness company doing its level best for the people. And medical murder, proving collusion from the top down. That's our job today. Let's prove it, Scott. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, it is actually relatively easy to prove if you open up your eyes. And if you look at, I'm in the hospital murder lane, Sean, as you know, but what happens as you start researching, your research expands to a much bigger agenda. And, the hospital murders relative to COVID were necessary to get the bioweapon in people's arms to fuel the fear porn. But even before that, if you look at the vaccine agenda and the lies that led to people taking vaccines for 100 years, that's lie after lie after lie. And they ratcheted up the lies with COVID even further because the stakes were higher. So my daughter lost her life as one of the people who were murdered out of the 1.2 million Americans murdered in hospitals during the 39-month COVID era, as the goal of the United States government to get the jab in everybody's arm. So anyway, what I'm doing here, Sean, in this slide presentation is driving home the point as to first, how did they set this up? How did they convince us? But then, as usual, the devil is in the details. And I want to show how they're even doing this on, a lot of people think, well, we can get involved in a local level. And even on a local level, it's happening. So your first slide that you have up, what is eugenics? The reason I bring this up, eugenics has been around before Jesus walked the face of the earth. But in the modern society, eugenics has reared its head with the United States starting a sterilization program in the beginning of the 1900s. And that program was adopted by Hitler. Hitler took it to the next level. As you well know, Operation Paperclip took place while we're shaking our finger at Hitler. And Operation Paperclip brought the top 1,600 German eugenicists back to the United States to perfect this model further. The low-hanging fruit on the eugenics agenda, of course, are the disabled, like Grace, who had Down syndrome, and the elderly. But what I'm going to show in ultimately with one of the slides that is in this slide deck, I'm going to show how they're coming after all of us. All right, let's go to the next one, Sean. In order to pull this off, they have to create a culture of death. So how do you do that? How can you just create something that is so evil? Well, they do it. Satan's plays the long game. So they do this over time. And you and I have talked about the term in the next slide. You can go to the next one, Sean, called the banality of evil. So banality means evil is so common that we don't see it, but it's all around us. And the slide doesn't show 100% with what you're looking at, but I want to talk about a couple of things that they have done that shows the banality of evil is alive in America. And the first one is, of course, relative to the disabled. And the disabled, in Grace's case, Grace had Down syndrome. 90% of Down syndrome babies are murdered in the womb, so they never get to see the light of day. So how does that even happen? Well, it's the banality of evil. So what happens? The young couple gets pregnant. If they don't have moral roots, they go to see the lab coat, and the white coat tells them, let's schedule your amniocentesis. Then they get the results of the amniocentesis, and the white coat convinces them to get an abortion if the amniocentesis shows a disability. So then they blindly just follow the white coat. Their only question on their mind is, does my insurance cover it? And of course it does, because they're all in on it. I'm going to drill down the insurance in just a little bit. Then the other one I want to cover, we'll get to the slide that you have up here next, but what I want to cover is the banality of evil relative to the elderly. And actually that slide, Sean, you can leave up, because this one shows the banality of evil in figures. So if you look at between 1960 and 2019, the cost of nursing care facilities, you can see went up 20,000% in that 59-year period. So when I was a kid, virtually all families took care of their parents. When they got older, you just had to move in with you. That was the norm. Well, now the norm is if mom misses the mail one day, the kids ship her off to a dementia center. And so that's why these costs are skyrocketing. But what I have proved through the medical murder series that we talked about last time I was on is that those costs have increased by design, because it is the population reduction agenda that wants to reduce the elderly and the disabled populations first. All right, let's go to the next slide, Sean. All right, this is the one I was referencing earlier. So this is the when I started drilling down, the eugenics agenda, and how did they pull this off? Well, I went to kindergarten in 1968, and I had a vivid memory from 68. The weekly readers we got every week, of course, that's why it's called the weekly reader. And one of the weekly readers had said that it's irresponsible to have more than two children. And if your parents have an electric can opener, that's wrong because of the limited resources on the planet. So think about a five-year-old. I'm being programmed by a weekly reader in 1968 as a five-year-old with the current agenda that we see on steroids. So I started digging. And in my digging for these old weekly readers, I stumbled across this document that was ultimately put together by the Rockefellers. And it shows the first formal plan to depopulate the United States back in 1967. And you can see over on the left-hand side, fertility control agents in the water supply, something near and dear to my wife and my hearts is the chronic depression. The reason is our son committed suicide in 2018. And, you know, as I see it now, Travis was also a casualty of this agenda. You can see discovering or discouraging private home ownership. So what is that? The precursor to, well, these smart cities, you know, let's get everybody in apartments. And so all of a sudden they have complete control of us. And of course, on the right-hand side, you can see sterilization, abortion, et cetera, which, you know, it's on demand these days. All right, let's go to the next slide, Sean. All right, this is maybe the most important concept for people to understand when you see how big this is. So what they have done in the banality of evil is they created a spirit of collectivism. And so for those of you who don't know what collectivism means, it means that we need to look at the good of the population versus the good of the individual. So when you look at the good of the population, you all of a sudden start doing all kinds of things. So then like the vaccine agenda, which, you know, the vaccine agenda is an entire psyop based on this spirit of collectivism. But as you drill it down, you start seeing, okay, well, how do they, the idea that we need to deal with the good of society versus the good of the individual has a logic to it. But when you start implementing it, you see all the fallacies in that logic. Let's go to the next slide, Sean. All right, so this is huge. If you look at the middle paragraph, so Medicare and Medicaid were set up to fuel this collectivism lie. So collectivism, remember, the good of society versus the good of the population. Well, who is on Medicare and Medicaid? It's the elderly and disabled. All right, so then in collectivism, these costs, the cost to maintain the elderly and disabled populations, are astronomical. And according to the CMS, Center for Medicaid Services, own data, there's 135 million Americans on Medicare and Medicaid. The cost for Medicare and Medicaid and the related Social Security for those Americans is $3 trillion a year, 50% of the federal budget. So they use the excuse of collectivism, the costs are out of control. And what they have done is through Medicare and Medicaid, they have written, and I'm going to get into this in a lot of detail, they've written standards of care to hasten death. Well, hastening death is murder. And I'm going to read the middle paragraph there, Sean. Is think this through. Medicare and Medicaid is the ultimate bait and switch. We payroll deduct so we can get, quote, free health care, end quote, when we retire. Remember, we paid for this privilege our entire working life. But it ends up being wrapped up in a bowl, looking like our government is taking care of the elderly and the disabled. Then they program us to bow down to the doctor, and they license the doctor so he won't be paid unless he follows the CMS standards of care designed to hasten our deaths. I looked at this in a lot further detail, Sean, because I'm going to be 61 next month. And I received my Social Security statement. So I looked up, okay, what's going on with signing up for Medicare? Because I thought, well, with what I know, we're not signing up. So I drilled it down, started doing research, and you're going to see a related slide on that later. But as I drilled it down, the most shocking thing in the research showed up. If my wife and I don't sign up for Medicare, right? You'd think that would be a benefit to the government, right? We get penalized. We're penalized for not signing up. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's so crazy to think that. Well, that would be a savings. Why is there a penalty? Well, because they want us to all fall trap to the standards of care. Remember, standards of care are designed to hasten our death. And I'll be able to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt in a little bit. Let's go to the next slide, Sean. Okay, so then what are the Medicare and Medicaid costs for the elderly and disabled? And this is how they justify this spirit of collectivism of hastening death of the elderly and the disabled. So in the 49 years beginning in 1970, you can see the numbers. The costs of Medicare and Medicaid increased over 10,000%. So remember what I'm sharing, Sean, is that this is all by design. These costs increase on purpose so they can use those increasing costs as the excuse to write standards of care. The standards of care hasten death. All right, this is an introduction to our federal government's role, which, you know, those of you who heard me before, you know this stuff already. So Ezekiel Emanuel, our favorite eugenicist, he wrote in 1996 that services provided to individuals who are irreversibly prevented from being or becoming participating citizens are not basic and should not be guaranteed. Those are the useless eaters from the Nazi Germany terminology. So Ezekiel Emanuel rephrases that to non-participating citizens. And then what a surprise. He's the chief architect of Obamacare. Obamacare gets passed March 23rd of 2010, and Obamacare includes a license to kill us. Go ahead to the next slide. Section 1553 of Obamacare specifically says the government may not subject an individual or an institutional healthcare entity to discrimination on the basis that that entity does not provide any healthcare item or service furnished for the purpose of causing or the purpose of assisting in causing the death of any individual, such as by assisted suicide, euthanasia, or mercy killing. And Sean, you'll remember that Grace was euthanized. She was given a combination of Prosedex, lorazepam, and morphine in a 29-minute window that nobody could have survived. And when it came time to resuscitate her, of course, they already had it in the plan to not resuscitate her. No medical professional would come in the room. Why? Because the doctor wrote an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's chart. But this was all legalized with Obamacare, Section 1553. Believe me, I'm not, you know, I'm throwing all politicians under the bus here, by the way, Sean. I'm not blaming this on Obama. This was in the works way before Obama, which we'll see. Actually, I don't think I put that slide in, but, you know, just simply, if you look at the vaccine agenda, we had the Vaccine Safety Act passed in 1986, which gave immunity from liability for all the vaccine manufacturers. I mean, how is that even possible? I own a small business. If I had immunity from liability, it's like, what? How does that work? I mean, God's economy says choice and consequence. You can't take away consequences. All right, so this one is also near and dear to me because Grace had a disability. So when she's in the hospital, I was taken out by an armed guard. That's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Grace had a right to an advocate 24/7. She also had a right to not be strapped down. She was strapped down to the bed. So these are all violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Well, to our surprise, when we first filed the lawsuit, Sean, we were going to file a federal lawsuit and have a disability rights claim. So then one of the attorneys on the team researched the Americans with Disabilities Act and found the unthinkable. It only applies to the living. So these violations that happened while Grace was in the hospital, the only way we could have held them to account is if I would have had I would have known the law, that level of detail, and had an attorney on retainer that we stopped the behavior live. After the fact, now that Grace is dead, there is literally no claim. And, you know, funny, you know, God gives us certain things over time. And a funny thing I saw way back, so this, the little note on the men's door, I was in one of the for a traffic violation in one of the local courthouses. And you can see that this is on the first floor men's room. It says accessible restrooms are located on the fifth floor if you're handicapped. If you're not handicapped, you get to go on the first floor. But if you're handicapped, you got to go up 5 flights of stairs so you have the bathroom.
That is funny. Well, presumably they have an elevator, but still, that's pretty funny.
No, I know. It is. It's hard. You can't make it up, right? Yeah, they did have an elevator, but still, why wouldn't you make the other person? Why not make me go up the elevator? Why the handicapped person? All right. Oh, I do have the Congress. Let's go to the next one. I'm not going to spend any time on this other than to show Congress has been in on this for a long time. There's a sequence of laws that were put in place since 1969 that set up what happened with COVID. And they set this all up through all, they crossed every T and dotted every I. This is why it has been so hard for lawsuits to proceed with the atrocities that happened with COVID, because they set all these laws in place way ahead of time. Let's go to the next one, Sean, because I want to drill down to the local level. So the bold statement here is they are all colluding to cover up murder. As you know, I'm calling Grace's death murder. I'm doing that on purpose. Let's go to the next slide. So the first thing is they have to indoctrinate doctors to kill. So in this case, this document is from the Palliative Care Network of Wisconsin. We're from Wisconsin, as you know. And you see what they're doing here is they convince the doctors through this training that Down syndrome people are worthless. So they list all kinds of problems that Down syndrome people have on the right-hand side. You can see on the left-hand side, they make the bold statement that the toll on families is high. Part of a robust plan of care includes acknowledgement of this toll by healthcare workers. So they frame this, the doctors coming on the white horse to save the family from this nasty thing called Down syndrome. So then they make the kill statement. Whenever possible, decision makers for people with Down syndrome, that's the doctors, should be encouraged to use substituted judgment to make key palliative care decisions. All efforts should be made to determine the preference of the patient. However, because of lifelong cognitive impairment, the views of the person with Down syndrome may not be known. So wrap your head around that. I mean, I know the view of every person with Down syndrome. They want to live. So now you take this to what I said earlier. They're coming after us. This eugenics agenda is a population reduction agenda. They're just taking the low-hanging fruit first, the disabled and the elderly. But they're coming after all of us. So now just think about the person that is in a coma, is in a car accident, can't decide for themselves. So now the doctor, you extrapolate this concept, the doctor gets to use substituted judgment. The person with dementia, you know, it's not hard to see that that's what their plan is. All right, this is the key element that I would really like to have the whole planet wake up to, Sean. I'm just going to take a quick sip of water. This is the standard of care idea. So with standards of care, what's happening is that we get sucked into the idea that my insurance won't pay for it. And so then I've got to follow what the standard of care is. And I'm just going to give a simple example to have everybody see this. And then I'm going to make the bold statement right now that anybody listening who's awake should drop your medical insurance today. And the reason is because they are in on it. And this example will prove it. So Sean, you get cancer, you have some ailment, you go to the doctor, they do a biopsy and he says, Sean, you have cancer. All right, so you're awake, so you're not going to fall for this. But the typical person is going to say, okay, doctor, what do you recommend? Well, he only has 3 tools in his tool chest that are in the standard of care. He can cut, provide radiation, or provide chemo. That's all the options that he has. Well, I've done 2 podcasts on cancer already, and the odds of your cancer being cured by alternative treatments is, you know, in the 90 percentile, but he cannot offer any of the alternative treatments. He can only offer the standard of care. All 3 of those, the only one that is a potential legitimate of those 3 is cutting. And that assumes you can cut all the cancer out. So that is a legitimate tool. The other 2 are designed to hasten our death. So then what? So that's how the doctor's programmed. And in fact, that's the only way he gets paid. How are you programmed? Well, the person with insurance, what they're concerned, you know, after they get over the shock of having cancer, their next question is, does my insurance cover it? And so the answer, of course, is the doctor says, yes, it covers it. In fact, we can get you in next week to start the treatment. And so the doctor puts his arm around the patient and they sign the patient's death certificate in his office, courtesy of the standards of care written by insurance. And when I say CMS, Center for Medicaid Services, you think, well, I'm not on Medicare and Medicaid. How does that apply to me? Center for Medicaid Services writes the standards of care for the entire industry. And it's easily proven when you start, I did some research last week that I haven't put in slides yet, but when you start looking at how the individual doctor's office or medical facilities are reimbursed, they're reimbursed based on the percentage of their entire patient population that follows the CMS standards of care. Not just the people on Medicare and Medicaid, the entire population base. So they have to convince you to follow the standards of care. I have a personal story relative to that. I found out I had heart disease 7 years ago. I had to get on the statin drug is what they told me. I never did. I started researching and the nurse, a decent nurse, pulled me aside and said, Scott, you have to go on the statin. I said, I don't have to do anything. I said, so what do you mean? She said, I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. And she said, we have to get you on the statin drug. If there's enough people like you that are unwilling to do this, we have to fire you from our patient base because our Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement rates are based on our entire patient population that we can convince to adopt the CMS standards of care. This is real stuff. All right, so then I just want to go to one more level deep on this, which is there's a brand new slide I just put together this morning. And I did it because of this show. This show has the potential to wake up people beyond a typical show because of Sean's audience. So even Christian healthcare, my wife and I stopped on regular medical insurance probably, I would guess, 4 or 5 years ago now. And so then we went on Christian healthcare ministries. Well, when I dug into this signing up for Medicare situation and saw the penalty, I emailed our agent and I asked, what if we don't, I thought, well, we're at least covered. We have Christian Healthcare Ministries. So yeah, he emailed me back and you see the bottom of this slide. It says specifically that Christian Healthcare Ministries will only cover 20% if you don't sign up for Medicare. What? How is that possible? Well, that got me thinking, of course, quite a bit further. And then I asked him, okay, well, what about alternative treatments? My wife and I are, we're not doing allopathic medicine. So what about alternative treatments? I'm going to read this. So this is what he sent me this morning. Christian healthcare ministries cannot share bills for non-standard procedures and treatment plans, including blood work or testing supporting such treatment. This includes treatment plans that follow an alternative, integrative, complementary, functional, holistic, or naturopathic approach. So they're bought into the allopathic medicine model. So we haven't dropped them yet just because, time, but the next step is dropping Christian healthcare ministries because they're in on it too. And we're just going to go without insurance. And that sounds stupid, I know, because we've been programmed.
Well, listen to those adjectives, though. Isn't that interesting? So the alternative treatment plans are described as integrative, complementary, functional, holistic, naturopathic. Those are all really good words describing real healthcare. So God knows in this upside down world, you can't have that, slave. You got to have the Rockefeller protocols.
Exactly right. And as we bring up the PDF after we're done of my new research, that will really lay out the allopathic medicine model. All right. So now remember, we're drilling down who's all in on this beyond the federal government. So state legislatures are also in on this. So the state legislatures provide immunity from liability for the doctors. And you're going to see in the next slide why, but I want to just share with you what seems good is always evil in this system. It's just less evil. It's not totally evil, but it's less evil. But evil and less evil are still evil. So in how I learned this, Sean, is because I could probably have my JD degree with all the time I've spent with the legal team. But drilling down, state statute 448.30 in Wisconsin, that's the informed consent statute. By the way, all the states have a similar informed consent statute. You think, well, this is great. My doctor has to follow informed consent. Well, first of all, this statute is illegal because the state constitution says Congress shall make no ex post facto law. So when they make a law that takes away your right to life, that's illegal. So the law by itself is illegal. But what beyond that, when you know, I'm not reading the words out of the informed consent statute because it doesn't matter. God already gave us the informed consent statute when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. So just think about if you're a doctor, Sean, wouldn't you want your patient to know what's going on so that he can be informed and make an intelligent decision? You know, it's like the blinding flash of the obvious. So why did they put this statute in place? Well, the reason they put this statute in place, I'm gonna leave that as a cliffhanger just for a minute. We're gonna go to the next slide, and I'm gonna tell you exactly why they put this statute in place. This is from this slide before we get to the cliffhanger slide. This is again, Sean, when you look at, you can't make this up. This is from one of the motions to dismiss. We've had four motions to dismiss in our lawsuit so far. This is from one of the motions to dismiss. And what the defense attorney was writing here was to convince the judge to throw out the case. And I'm going to read the second paragraph that's bolded. He wrote, the legislature's purpose in enacting a statutory scheme to govern claims for damages arising out of alleged medical negligence was to encourage healthcare providers to remain in Wisconsin by imposing certain limits on the causes of action that a patient or her family can pursue and on the types and amount of damages that can be recovered. So he's telling the judge, listen, there's a whole statutory scheme in place. We can't get any doctors to practice in Wisconsin if they're going to be held to account for their actions. It's like, are you kidding me? This was actually in the motion to dismiss. All right, let's go to the cliffhanger slide then, Sean. And so why did the state legislature put the informed consent statute in place? Because the consequence, they wanted to get to the consequence. The consequence of a doctor violating the informed consent statute is you have to file a complaint with the Department of Safety and Professional Services. So I did file a complaint on December 2nd of 2021. And what they wrote back on January 20th is a form letter that said, you know, I had everything detailed out, Sean, the drugs they gave Grace, the illegal DNR, and they said that the doctor did no wrong. All right, so then you think, well, wow, yeah, that's pretty bad. But I'm just a dad. I'm not a medical professional. So then a pharmacist came to the table, and she asked me, Scott, will you send me Grace's records? I'd really like to. I saw you on a podcast. I'd like to review them and file a complaint, assuming it's warranted. So she did. She spent hundreds of hours reviewing Grace's records, no charge to us, and she filed a complaint. Let's go to the next slide. She filed the complaint dated July 26th of 23, but unlike my complaint, which was 4 pages long with attachments, hers was 100 pages long with attachments. She had every T crossed, every I dotted. And you can see literally the same, it's the paragraph that starts with the details. It's the same exact paragraph that was in the letter to me. Not one word was even changed. And then they send along a response with the letter that they sent her and says the decision of the medical examining board, which is from the Department of Safety and Professional Services, is final. There's no appeal process. Well, guess what? The medical examining board is made up of not guys like you and I, Sean. It's made up of 13 individuals, 10 of which are doctors, 3 of which are lay people. So this would be like the traffic cop turning in his traffic cop buddy for speeding. You know, it's not going to happen. And in fact, it didn't happen in Grace's case. And they even went one step further, slide 24, they went on the offensive.
Yeah, just hold on though. This is really interesting. This last line here, a decision has been made by the Politburo, right? The gatekeepers that are protecting the criminal doctors who've committed murder. A decision has been made that the information presented does not warrant further investigation, because it would uncover criminality, murder, and people would have to go to jail. So nothing like the gatekeepers, right? The fox guarding the hen house.
Well, that's perfectly said. That is exactly what happened here. Well, then they actually go on the offensive. And this, I think I've shared this on your show before, but it's so important. I want people to wrap their head around it. This is where you got to get out of the system and find people in a medical capacity that can help you objectively without submitting to this crazy allopathic system. The Department of Safety and Professional Services wrote on December 5th of 2022, Chapter 154, which is the DNR statute in Wisconsin. Chapter 154 of the Wisconsin statutes does not apply to physicians operating in hospital non-emergency room settings, such as the one in question. So that means a doctor in a hospital setting can put a unilateral DNR on anybody, and it's not a violation of the standards of care according to the licensing board. It's so beyond belief. We're working through, Sean, Cindy and I are working through our estate documents right now, and with this new set of glasses on, and we're writing a care and consent document to our medical power of attorney to take all of this into account. We're signing these documents coming up next month. I'll be putting it on Grace's website so that people can see the level of detail. But when my wife read it, I'm working with the estate attorney, and she read it, she said, "Wow, this is like the hospital's evil." I said, "Yeah, Cindy, that's exactly right. You and I, you know, this puts in writing what we know about hospitals. So if you end up in a hospital, you've got to have the right set of glasses on and the right advocate to protect yourself." All right, let's go to the next slide, Sean.
Yeah, and I want you to do me a favor. After you get those documents all finished up, can you send me a copy? I'd really like to read those for my own edification, because we are updating our will. And one of the things we need to do as part of that package is update our healthcare directives. And it's very cut and pasty is the way they have you do it, because I think your language would probably be very helpful to me.
I'll just because it's another month till it's final, I'm going to send you the Word document that I've edited. And so you'll see my edits and everything right in it. So it's raw, but I mean, it at least you can keep moving on it then.
All right, thanks.
So I'll send that yet today so that you have it. All right, this one. So you would expect that the DA would be interested, right? But I hired a different attorney to write a letter to the DA to open up a criminal case on Grace's murder. And, you know, I've said multiple times today, you can't make this up. Well, this is an exclamation point and you can't make this up. So I'm just going to read the first paragraph on the left-hand side first. So this is in our letter to the district attorney, Mindy Tempest. All right, Mr. Shara is alleging, and everything we have learned supports, that the notion of Dr. Gavin Shokar unilaterally and without informed consent issued a do not resuscitate order for Grace. On October 13th of 2021, medical staff refused to attempt to revive Grace after her parents, who were also her agents under a power of attorney, indicated that Grace was not DNR and pleaded for the medical staff to revive Grace. If this alone does not support a charge of first degree intentional homicide for the people involved, we would like to know why. We just want to know why. I mean, it's so obvious. All right. So then I've got a couple of clips out of their response letter back. And, you know, we wrote on July 19th of 23, they responded just a week later, July 26th. And it says, first, the death certificate states the cause of death was acute respiratory failure with hypoxemia as a consequence of COVID-19. This is the official cause of death. Obviously, Dr. Shokar did not cause Grace to contract COVID. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, you can see the fallacy in this. It's almost like, are people this stupid to write something like this? Not only is that what we're talking about, we're not claiming that Shokar gave Grace COVID. We're claiming that he killed her. And what's real interesting, I didn't put this slide in here, is I requested a meeting with the coroner just to talk about Grace's death certificate, because not only is the death certificate alive, but Shokar is the one who signed the death certificate.
Let me tell you something. This is a little walk down memory lane for those who don't remember or don't know at all. So the guy in charge of all the death certificates, the autopsist, the coroner, appointed by Bill Clinton in Arkansas, he was very famous for putting suicide as the cause of death on all of those death certificates. And it didn't matter if you were found in the woods tied to a tree, blindfolded with two bullet holes in the back of your head, he would rule those deaths suicides. And we're talking about dozens and dozens of anomalous deaths. So that's what you got here, brother. Arkansas in Appleton, Wisconsin. in Wisconsin in general?
Well, this is neat. I mean, this is the benefit of having somebody like you as a host, because you've been in this for such a long time. You can bring up this historical references. You know, I'm just, my degree is DAD. I don't know anything, but I've become a full-time researcher, and you know, I'm sharing what I find. But I mean, you've got that historical context, which is fantastic. I want to read the second piece under their response letter, Sean. It says, a doctor is not required to administer treatment she or he believes is not medically effective. This includes authorizing a DNR. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokhar should treat Grace. Dr. Shokhar did not abide by the wishes of the family. So they're admitting that right in the letter. However, there's no law in Wisconsin that requires him to do so.
Okay, so that's insane. Okay, yeah. So that they're literally telling you that the doctors can do whatever they want to do to you once you are in their territory, the hospital. So there is no more law as it pertains to your sovereign right as a human being, or your wishes, or your advocate's wishes, or your family's wishes. It's all up to the doctor. And so there you go. This is the state of affairs in this fallen republic, because that's what it is. Total takeover, death panels, Obamacare. This is what you get, folks. This is what you get when the government is in charge of your healthcare systems. Eugenics.
That's spot on. Very well said. You know, I just thought of this as you were talking about that, as I saw a report 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine sent it, that Ascension Hospital System, which St. Elizabeth's is part of Ascension Hospital System, and they lost $3 billion last year. And she sent me this article, and I thought, well, this is because of Grace. You know, Grace's story is out there. People are not going to the hospital, and her story caused them to lose $3 billion, which I thought that is a tool for us to fix this. If all of us were awake to the hospital system and none of us supported allopathic medicine anymore, guess what? We won.
Wait, though. That paragraph is absolutely stunning. So let's read this again. A doctor is not required to administer treatment that she or he believes is not medically effective. All right, let's just stop right there. Relating to a DNR, do not resuscitate, medically effective. How about medically ineffective? If you're not going to resuscitate the patient's going to die. All right, we'll continue. This includes authorizing a DNR. Okay, this is upside down world. This is pure insanity. The parties clearly had a dispute about how Dr. Shokhar should treat Grace. Yeah, no kidding. Dr. Shokhar did not abide by the wishes of the family. However, there's no law in Wisconsin requiring him to do so. So that means there is no law in Wisconsin and doctors can murder their patients. Period. Full stop. Am I wrong?
You nailed it perfectly.
This God is help why,
us. I mean, and then you think about, okay, so we have a lawsuit, as you know. You know, we have the first jury trial that is going to bring medical battery to the forefront. The judge allowed all of our claims to go, including medical battery. So we have a jury trial that starts November 4th, the day before the presidential election. So what is the reason that we're doing this? I mean, this is, you know, from a perspective of business, I'm a businessman. This doesn't make any sense, because you got to give your life to it. You know, it's an obscene amount of money to be able to do it. You're fighting an antichrist system. But yet we're trying to save people's lives. You know, Grace's death is not in vain. And the lawsuit allows us an opportunity to shed light, not just on the evil legal system, but way more important, the evil medical system. And if we win, that means medical battery becomes an opportunity for the entire country to sue under, versus what they are trying to do with these statutes is make all the lawsuits about medical negligence, medical malpractice. Well, negligence means an accident. These deaths are not accidents. These deaths are on purpose. And what it also allows, a medical battery claim, Sean, allows the statute of limitations that they put in place, which is another hurdle to jump through. It takes the statute of limitations in most states and extends it. It doubles it in most states. So then you have more opportunity to get an attorney to take on the case. And then there's also no limits. So in Wisconsin, there's assuming that you win your medical malpractice case, the most you can win by state statute is $750,000. That's the most. And when you have a medical battery claim, it takes it outside of state statute and the claim then becomes unlimited. By the way, we've already publicly stated we're not taking any money. So even if they write a check for $1 billion, an unthinkable amount, this is not about money. This is about shedding light on evil, holding people to account. And it really is about repentance. If the individual doctors and nurses, as you know, Sean, we not only are suing Ascension Hospital System, but we're suing 5 doctors and 2 nurses. And if those doctors and nurses come to repentance, we won. That does not mean, you know, repentance does not mean no consequence. I spoke, you know, when you and I saw each other a few weeks ago, I was flying to Las Vegas a couple of days later to speak to a group of attorneys in Las Vegas. And I was asked when I was on stage, you know, you talk about repentance, Scott. Well, I thought you're not going to settle your lawsuit. And I said, well, it's 2 different things. And I didn't have this top of mind yet, but I'll say it now. So if a bank robber steals $50,000 from a bank and comes to repentance, that's fantastic because now his soul is right with God. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have a consequence. He can still have to pay the $50,000 back as a minimum, plus likely jail time. So these doctors and nurses who did this to Grace, they've got to have a consequence. And that's why we took the extraordinary step of suing individual doctors and nurses to put the whole country on alert that you cannot kill people and use the excuse that standards of care caused you to do this. Standards of care are used as a license to get out. It's like a get out of jail card free. This whole thing about big pharma, Sean, that you and I have, you know, personal experience with in various degrees, God warned us about in Revelation 18:23. He said, "For your merchants were the most important people of the earth." I think he's talking about the United States here, because with your pharmakia, they deceived all the nations. And let's go to the next slide, because I have some statistics about the United States pharmakia. We only have 4.2% of the world's population, but we use 43.7% of the pharmaceuticals in the world. We write in the United States in 2022, we wrote 4.73 billion prescriptions. So we are a society hooked on pharmakia. So we are getting what we deserve, a culture without God. So then what's my close? Let's go to the next slide and then we'll bring up the teaser slide. For some reason doesn't show my, well, I'll just ad lib that. I have it up on my screen. I see COVID as a warning to repent. I think God's judgment of America is overdue. I think it's a warning to repent. Once a person has repented, what are we called to do? I mean, every person's going to be different, but I really like to quote Dietrich Bonhoeffer here. Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So we all have a responsibility. Where does Grace's murder fit in all of this? We're going to find out. You know, God has, I believe, his hand on our case. He's still on the throne. Jesus isn't up pacing around, what do I do next? And then in my last plug, Sean, I would like you to bring up the PDF that I sent you, if you wouldn't mind. All right. So I'm working on a new series right now called The Matrix Revealed, The Illusion of Choice. And this is one of the slides from the first recording. And I said before about Revelation 18:23, Satan has been deceiving us with pharmakia for 6,000 years. And this is a teaser. I'll just quickly go through this so you can see the original deception was in the garden, Genesis 3:6. Eve chose to chase knowledge to be like God, and that has infiltrated all of us ever since. In the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 16:12, so you think, well, is this allopathic medicine new? Well, it's not all that new. King Asa was a good king, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from the physicians. So then you get Jesus was on earth. So was it happening in the New Testament too? Well, in Mark 5:26, Jesus ended up healing this woman because of her faith. And it the quote is, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. And of course, now we get into modern time, early 1900s, the Carnegies were hired to do the Flexner Report, which threw everything other than allopathic medicine under the bus. Then the Rockefellers get involved and fund the medical schools to do the indoctrination into allopathic medicine. And as I've proven with the slides that you saw today, you know, this is all about hastening our death. It's fueled by money. On April 5th of 1933, we have a fiat currency, so they can use money to fuel the entire thing. And then on the opposite half, giving us the illusion of choice, is the red pill half of this, which is the non-allopathic, but the non-allopathic still doesn't have God as the center. It has money as the center. And that's my story, Sean, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, we're glad you're on it, man. I mean, this thing happened for a reason, and it's very sad. A lot of people passed away, maybe not for a reason, but eugenics is the reason they passed away. They were murdered, and yeah, they messed with the wrong girl. They messed with the wrong dad, too. Well, Scott, I appreciate you, brother. Can you tell people how they can follow you and keep up to date on your story?
So they can follow at ouramazinggrace.net. To stay up to date, go to graceshara.com, put in your name, email address. My daughter Jessica is manning that site. We're sending out regular legal updates. And then we also have a Substack that you can link to at ouramazinggrace.net. And we're sending out regular Substacks with updates also.
All right. Very good. Godspeed, my friend. And until we run into each other again with Stu Peters, have a great weekend.
All right. You too, Sean.
All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you very much. If you're still with us, spread this one far and wide within your sphere of influence on social media. And I'll remind you every single day for free. Check us out for free at sgtreport.com, guys. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. It's the real news you won't get from CNN or MSNBC or The Washington Post, which sends mercenaries to the front doors of citizen journalists on Father's Day. At least that's what they did to me. Guys, thanks so much for being here. May God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
All of the laws that were set to protect us from what is happening right now, which is pure tyranny, are being overturned and eliminated for this new world order that is just so creepy. And now they're committing genocide in Ukraine, using them as their as our cat's paw to go after Russia and carving up that country. And now it's so bad that they've got women that they're conscripting into the military en masse. You've got what's going on in Gaza and Israel, which is a tragedy that just won't stop. And worse news is coming out every single day. There was just a couple kids that were just killed in an airstrike. And we're funding all of it.